All right, this morning is going to be a little bit different in our service, and I hope you came prepared for a little different. So we're going to give honor to Paul Pierce today, and so in doing so, we want to remember him the best we can. And I know Paul, later on in his years, didn't attend church as regular as we would have liked him to, or he would have liked to, but he was still part of our church and still part of what we were doing here, and I just thank God for him. We're going to start out probably different than I just told you, Lise, so we're just going to wing it, all right? So, but what we want to do today is we're going to have an obituary read. Bill wrote up an obituary. Bill's one of those guys that if you need help, you know who to call. He's just going to be there. He's going to take care of you, and that's what he did for Paul. Paul and him were friends for a long time, longer than I've known Bill. You guys have known each other, and he took care of your mom over in Soap Lake. And just did some great things, and I just love Paul, and I love Bill and what he's done for the people in this community, and so what we're going to do is we're going to start with just a little bit of information about who Paul is. So Bill, do you want to come, and we'll just begin.
Thank you. Paul David Pierce. Paul was a third son from Jack Pierce and Frances Ruth Cobb, having two older brothers, Jack and Bill. He was born April 13, 1944, in Colorado Springs, Colorado. After being orphaned at a young age, he grew up in a home for boys in Colorado Springs. He talked many times of exploring the woods around the property and playing football and during high school and playing the trumpet in their band. It was his talent with the trumpet that later led him after high school to play for a short time in the Air Force National Band. Who knew him here at church got the privilege of hearing his talent. Following that, he moved on to various jobs, such as finishing the wood trim on boats in Boston Harbor, driving an ambulance as an EMT in the New Orleans area, working for a hog farmer in Minnesota, even going to Alaska and working on the pipeline. For some time, he worked around the San Francisco Bay Area, too. He moved to Washington, I'm not sure exactly when, to be near his half-sister, Brenda Stoltz, who at that time lived in the Colville area on the Indian Reservation. Then approximately 35 years ago, he moved to Riskville, where he liked to spend his spare time searching old homestead dump sites for bottles and such other treasures, and he also would enjoy spending time on the lakes fishing. And during his time in Ritzville, he worked as a laborer for a local building contractor, Barry Wood, and a few times for different farmers in the area. And did several odd jobs helping people around the area. And during that period, he became a, and he also, for the time after my mother had her stroke, he worked as a caregiver for my mom. And he became a semi-regular attendant at Riskville Four Square Church. So occasionally he liked to visit the Lutheran Church. And those who are longtime members of Four Square Church were privileged to experience his talent on the trumpet. And those who spoke to him in depth of his faith and power of his prayer and healing power, Jesus, as he had witnessed many times throughout his walk with Christ. Paul passed away on September 2nd, after battling quite a bit of illness over the past year, and then was finally diagnosed having been diagnosed with stomach cancer. He leaves behind two stepchildren and a son, several nieces and nephews and their families, and plus many friends around Reidsville. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bill. I remember Paul. He mentioned Paul playing the trumpet. I can remember when we first came to Reidsville in 99, when we would start up the worship, Paul, and at that time we were down where the food pantry is, so we were down in the storefronts, and we had two storefronts, and we had one we had the service in, and the other was the Sunday schools and all of that. Well, he would go back on the Sunday school side where he could hear Amy playing, and he would, when we would start singing, he would start playing his trumpet back there because he didn't like being in front of people. He was shy, I guess would be the word, but he didn't want to play. But eventually he worked his way to where he was able to come out, and the last couple times he played, he was up here and he would play over on this side of the sanctuary in front of everyone, and it was such a joy to hear him. But he was very, very talented. I didn't realize this till one day I went down to visit with him, and I knew he played the trumpet, but he sat down and he started playing the piano too, or his electric keyboard and organ, and he started jamming. Man, he was just going, oh, crank that volume up, and he would just play and play and play. And he had more fun with his music. And I just thought, you know, that is awesome. And I'm sorry that most of us probably didn't get to know that side of Paul, but he was just a real musically inclined person and just loved to play his music and to sing and by himself. I mean, obviously he didn't want to be up in front of people doing that, but he loved doing that. And I can remember when I first got to know him, one of the things that he told me, he was sick in a hospital one time and he was just concerned. I don't feel like God's here. Didn't know what was going to take place. And a pastor came in and started visiting with him, and he was sharing this part of his experience. And he's God just led this guy to tell him, he said, Paul, you just need to prayerfully read the Bible. Pray, ask the Lord to reveal himself to you as you read through the scriptures. And he did that. He says, and I did, and I read through the Bible, and God just did some amazing things in my life. And he would often go back to that point. I would prayerfully consider what I was reading, prayerfully read the Word of God, and let God just begin to speak to me. And that was so good, just to hear Paul just talk about his relationship with the Lord and how he loved God, and he wanted to just express that through music. And I just wish he would have been able to do that more. But one of the last requests that he made to me was he pointed to the closet over in his front room, and he says, in that closet there's three trumpets. I want you to give them to somebody that's going to use them. And so I did. And it was important to him. And so I just thank God for Paul and his life and just being able to know him. And Bill, you're going to come tell some stories and then sing a song for us? All right. So come on, Bill.
Paul and I spent a lot of time together, many years. We go over the Moses Lake Rodeo almost every, at least once during the showing. And one year we drove down to Pendleton Roundup, and along the way I'd be playing CDs and stuff, and we'd sing along. But he'd tell stories, you know, about things that happened while he was an EMT in Louisiana, and stories, you know, he shared. Sometimes it was a little bit comical, but when he was working for the hog farmer in Minnesota, at that time he was single but he was interested in a gal, and his last duty of the day, as he told us, was to go through the farrowing barn and check on the sows in the farrowing barn and feed them. And he was really in a hurry to do that. And he'd go down through the barn, and he would go down the aisle, and he'd go, 1-2, 1-2, at every pen, and dump the measured amount of feed into their pen for him. Well, one night he did that and just got out of the shower, got home, and the farmer knocked on his door. And he says, "You know, you got a dead hog out there in that farrowing barn?" And Paul said, no, I didn't." He says, "Well, not only that, she's got 50 pounds of feed on her head." So that didn't go well with the farmer. But he told that at our men's retreat, and, you know, and we all had a good laugh, you know. But Paul was very open and friendly that way. He was willing to help dearly anybody. He helped me many times, and I helped him, and we'd go fishing up at Sprague Lake or down at Rock Lake, and we just had a good friendship together. I know your life on earth was troubled, and only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to the rain. Go rest high on that mountain, son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shall love for the Father and the Son. Oh, how we cried the day you left us and gathered round your grave to grieve. Wish I could see faces when they hear your sweet voice sing. Go rest high on that mountain, 'cause son, your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shouting love for the Father and the Son. go rest high on that mountain. Sign your work on earth is done. Go to heaven shouting love for the Father and the Son. Go to heaven shouting love for the Father and the Son.
All right, I want to read a scripture to you out of 1 Corinthians 15. And it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. I just think that's a good scripture for Paul. At the last trumpet. You know, when I got the call that he had passed away, I thought, all right, Gabriel's got a partner to blow that trumpet and just praise the Lord. Let me continue. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, as I think about Paul and the last few times that I got to spend with him, I would just go and read the scripture to him and read what the word said. And we were talking about healing because he wanted to be healed. And so I got a lot of scriptures out and I began to read those scriptures to him on healing. And I was praying one day about it and I said, Lord, how should we do this? And one of the things that I believe that the Lord showed me was to establish who he is in Christ, who Paul was in Christ, to let him, remind him who he is, to remind him of the work that Jesus did for him on the cross. And so I got these scriptures and I just have them printed out on a page and I just read them to him and I would read it and it says, I am, is the first statement, I am a child of God. You know, and that statement right there just can bring comfort. Can bring comfort and encouragement to our life. I am a child of God. Then it says, I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Psalms 107, verse 2. I am forgiven. Colossians 1:13-14. I am saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8. I am justified, Romans 5:1. I am sanctified, 1 Corinthians 6:11. I am a new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I am a partaker of his divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I am delivered from the powers of darkness, Colossians 1:13. I am led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14. I am a son of God. And I would just read down through this whole list. I won't take the time to do that. I have about 40 of them right here that I would just take and read to him. And then I would go to the scriptures and I would read from Isaiah 53. I would read from 1 Peter. I would read from the Gospels. I would read from the Old Testament, Psalms 103. That we bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And you know, as I would read these scriptures to him, and just we would talk about them, we would stop. Sometimes he would even say, well, slow down. Just slow down and let's talk about that. And so we would stop and talk about that scripture. We would talk about what God was saying to him, and what God was trying to communicate to us. And so as I would do that, you could just see the countenance change. Because, you know, Paul lived a pretty solitary life. And he didn't have a lot of people come around. And he was always excited when people would come and visit with him. But there were many times that you would go down and he was discouraged. And that's understandable. But by the time we would read through these scriptures and we would read through the healing scriptures and we would just take the time and we would just read the scriptures for about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, his whole countenance began to change. And you could see a joy begin to rise up within him and an excitement that there's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. And I think if I have anything that I would really want to share with you today is that there is hope. There's hope. I mean, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that we don't grieve the way the world grieves. As Christians, yes, we grieve, but not the way the world grieves. We grieve because of our personal relationship, because we're not going to maybe see that person or Paul any longer. But the world, there has people grieve and grieve and let that grief just take control of them. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be able to know and have a hope that we will see him again at that last trumpet. When that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and we remain will be caught up together with them in the sky. So that's our hope, is in him. Our hope is in Christ and his return for us. Our hope is And God and Jesus, when he was here on the earth, he told us that over and over. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. Now, he might not have said it like that, but I was reading this morning in the service over in Odessa of Jesus having communion at the last communion in the upper room in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark. And he took communion. He gave him the bread, and then he gave him the cup. And he says, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And I'm not going to drink it again until we get to heaven. Until we get to the kingdom. And then I'm going to drink it. And so there's hope. There's this future hope that we have in Christ, that this is not the end. This is not where everything stops. There is so much more. We have eternal life in Christ. We have eternal life with Jesus. And there's a lot of teaching on that and how we live our life in Christ now. In fact, Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He prayed that we would be one. Just as the Father was in Jesus, that they would be in us and that we would be in them. And he was just pointing out this hope that we have this, this life. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Eternal life is that they may know God. Eternal life is not necessarily the length of life, but it's the quality of life that we have. That we know Him and He knows us. So when we know Him, we know that He is able to meet the needs that we have. He cares about our needs. He cares about the things that we're going through. He cares about His love is so amazing. His love is far beyond what we could ever even imagine or think. And so I want to just kind of close with this thought that we have a hope in Him. And not only for this time, but we have a hope that one day when that trumpet, if we still are alive and remain, we will hear that trumpet. And then those who are alive and remain here will be transported to heaven with Him. And not just with Jesus, but with those who have passed before us. What a reunion. What a reunion. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face. The one who saved me by His grace. And He takes me by the hand and He leads me to the promised land. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. Is there anyone here that would like to share a memory with Paul, about Paul? Dee Dee? Do you need the microphone?
When I first moved here, which was in 07, he was my neighbor across the street. And he lived there for a couple of years until he bought his little house. Mm-hmm. And he used to come over every once in a while, and we'd sit in the backyard and have coffee or in the dining room. And we'd talk a little bit, and sometimes it would be about him, and sometimes it would be about the Lord and various things like that. But when he was really getting upset with the apartment because he was paying the electric and water for the other people that were there. It was only on 1 meter. And then he found that house, and I encouraged him to get it. I said, that way it's yours. You can fix it up like you want and stuff. And then he had a couple of us come over and pray over the house after he bought it and moved in. And he didn't come very often here. I saw most of the time it was when he was in that apartment, but he was kind of a quiet guy. And he got to know my dog Rufus. And he was very nice to us, you know, and helped me every now and then. But I never got to hear the trumpet, so I'm really disappointed because I love trumpet music.
Oh, sure.
So I got introduced to Paul when he came to me when he heard there was some stuff to do at the fairgrounds. And he'd been walking through and trimming something at the golf course or something like that, you know, and somebody told him, you know, they got stuff to do down there if you're looking for something to do. And he showed up down there for one season in the spring and ended up becoming a groundskeeper for a little while. Essentially, he'd just go down there and spend his half day or whatever mowing and watering and he was just kind of volunteering his time because he had some time. Mm-hmm. And so I got to know him pretty good, and over the years I visited him with an awful lot, not like Bill, but an awful lot. Sometimes that was my regular Sunday visit after church in town. Living by himself, you know, Paul could become a little self-absorbed, you know, and hold a grudge, that kind of stuff. But it was always the church that brought him back, you know. He had this born-again experience in New Orleans that he talked about, that a real Pentecostal kind of thing, you know, and a guy that he maintained connection with, I think, down there, that was a pastor of some sort. But just to say, what Bill mentioned about his diverse background, the stories he could tell, it was always interesting if you could get him to talking about being in, on a ship as a, what do they call it, a sea mariner, a sea, he did that for a period of time. And my dad was from Boston, so he was in that area for a while, building fiberglass boats and refinishing old wood boats, and then scuba diving and collecting bottles off the bottom of the bay and finding treasures. He raised fish, you know, to sell to pet stores, these in New Orleans, in these ponds, you know, and he always had, a long time, he had a fish in his house, you know, and it was a collection of exotics, you know. He got into coins, he got into knives, he got into all these hobbies that he kept over the years. I always valued his friendship, and I was so pleased when he stepped back into church, you know, and that's when he came to the Lutheran church. I said, you know, Paul, it's not good for man to be alone. He went for a period of time where he didn't go to church anywhere, you know, and he talked him into coming a few times, you know. I think we were too frozen. I always call us the frozen chosen, you know, for him, you know, and he needed to be up where he, I know he valued the music so much, you know, and he talked about playing down there with Amy Jo playing, and his love for the music was a big thing. So I just back saying the things that Bill already said, but I wanted to share that.
I do have to share my story. Of course, Paul and I, you know, when he first came, he came to the Four Square Church. He was Pentecostal. And so he came to the Four Square Church. I did not know he was quiet, shy about his talent. I have no idea why, because he was super talented, could play by ear. But nobody told me, Pastor Barry never told me that Sunday morning that Paul was going to play the trumpet. So I was playing along and we were singing, and I could hear this trumpet. And I'm looking all around, and I cannot, there is not a trumpet in the room. And I'm just going, wow, this is so cool. We're having a miracle. The angel trumpet's playing, the trumpet's playing, and there's no trumpet here, you know. And I was just all pumped. And then I found out later he was in the back room playing, and I heard him. So Paul was my angel playing the trumpet, and I'm sure that's what he's doing today in heaven, having a wonderful time playing the trumpet. So.
Amen.
Pete.
We met Paul when we first came here in 10, I think it was, and a wonderful sense of humor. Just some of the things he would say just would blow you away, that he had that sense of humor. In the Bible studies we had downstairs, and then also our Christmas parties and stuff, and he was always just, he had these funny little things, just right timing always, so I miss that. I miss that.
All right. Anyone else? That's okay.
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm one of Paul's nieces, and my brother Tracy is here too. And one of my main memories of Paul is in my brother's room with his trumpet. So it's really nice to hear that he still played it. And yeah, he had a very interesting life. He had a hard life from a little boy. And he would come visit us every Easter and stay with us quite a while. And then I live in Walla Walla, and I brought Paul's brother, Jack, our dad, to Walla Walla to caregive for him, and so Paul would come down now and then and visit, and it was really nice to see them together. And they both had a huge love of the Bible, so that was perfect. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank the church and everybody here who befriended him, and especially Bill for all you've done. Just thank you. Thank you.
All right, well, let's stand and let's sing this last song, and then we'll be dismissed.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endures. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.